Well, I don't think that I need to tell you that it is easier to see the stars when it's dark outside. My first call after seminary was to a small town in Virginia at the foot of the Piedmont Mountains. And the church was surrounded by this tiny little town and then by a lot of farms and land that had been undeveloped. And so it was just amazing to go out at night and to see the stars. I loved that. That was such a special time of that period of Dwight and my life. 2017 was in many ways a dark year, just like the year that Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, there was a power-hungry, insecure, and ruthless leader in place named Herod. He was a puppet king for the Romans, and he knew that the people didn't love or even like him. He constantly felt and behaved like his rule was under attack. So when King Herod heard from three esteemed visitors from the east that a baby had been born who would become king of the Jews, he was terrified. I'm not sure exactly what things were like in the part of the east where these magi came from, probably the area formerly known as Persia. But imagine that this part of the country, when the Magi saw that star, in this part of the country, life was probably not easy for most people. The countries of the East and Middle East were almost constantly at war with one another, competing for dominance and treasure. The Magi were scholars who were knowledgeable about the Hebrew scriptures. They knew about the prophet Micah's prediction that an important king of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem, a small village and backwater. Aware of Hebrew prophecy, paying attention to the signs of the times, and looking to the stars for guidance, the Magi were willing to leave everything they knew and the comforts of home to follow a star in the hope of meeting and worshiping this newborn king of the Jews. When the star stopped over the place where Jesus was staying, they were overwhelmed with joy. I wonder what you're hoping for in this new year. What are you longing for? For what are you willing to leave your comfort zone in order to venture into the unknown in search of the Christ child? In 2001, Vijay Gupta, a Los Angeles Philharmonic violinist, founded something called Street Symphony. There are, sadly, tragically, about 50,000 homeless people in Los Angeles County. In the part of LA referred to as Skid Row, the sidewalks are crammed with tents, boxes, broken furniture, and shopping carts full of possessions. To enter a place called the Midnight Mission, which was set up to help Skid Row residents, you have to step over people in sleeping bags. Gupta is committed to the people of the Midnight Mission and to showing up regularly. As he noted, if you're gonna make any difference, you have to show up a lot more often, and not just when you feel like it. This community is one defined by trauma. In their lives, someone didn't show up. We gotta show up. 3 years ago, Brian Palmer, a 43-year-old California native, was a homeless man struggling to overcome heroin addiction. All he owned was a bag containing some clothes, a blanket, and a pillow. He sought assistance at a recovery center at the heart of Skid Row in LA. One activity that helped him through the shaky period of early sobriety was singing. As a kid, he dreamed of becoming a professional singer. He was a member of the church choir, and he appeared in musicals at school. In 2015, he learned about Street Symphony, a group of professional musicians, mostly from the LA Philharmonic and Master Chorale, who work with homeless, mentally ill, and incarcerated populations. And in February, Palmer began taking voice lessons from a member of the Master Chorale. Every year, the Street Symphony performs a portion of Handel's Messiah at the Midnight Mission. Palmer was selected to sing the bass aria, "The people who've walked in darkness have seen a great light." The text he sang from the book of Isaiah is as follows, and I know many of you know it by heart. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." One person who heard Palmer sing said, "He performed well for one who has been studying vocal technique for less than a year. And in the lower end of his range, he had a round, full tone that can't be taught. More important, he made the text sound as though it had been taken from his real life." Palmer explained what had been going through his head as he sang. "An act of love," he said. "One act of love, I know for sure, is listening." This year, let us, the people of St. Matthew's, continue to commit ourselves to looking and listening for the Christ child, and especially in the most unlikely people and places. Let us travel to the backwater Bethlehems of our cities and world to see the places and people we don't want to see because they challenge the status quo and our complacency, and they make us uncomfortable. Let us travel there in pursuit of the light of Christ, and when we arrive, get down on our knees, knowing that we are on holy ground. The story of the Magi and the star is not about the individual personal quests of three scholars from the East. It is about a community of three persons committing themselves to following God's light, the light that can never be extinguished. Our willingness to look, listen, and follow has communal repercussions. The light is for all of us, people of all nations, all races, all cultures, all religions, all creeds, not just for a few. As the first chapter of John's Gospel reminds us, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the silence that follows, I would like you to try the spiritual practice that Maggie and Dan and I will be introducing this Epiphany, which is a visualization of light. I'd like you to just sit up and start to breathe in and out deeply, breathing in the light of Christ, breathing out whatever is not of Christ, not of God. And what I'd like you to do in the couple of minutes that we're going to engage in this visualization is to visualize the light of Christ as a star or a cross on your forehead. And I want you to feel the warmth of that star or that cross. And I want you to have that light stand for the light of Christ through which you are lovingly known. And if you are comfortable doing so and would like to just let that light flood your entire being, please do that. We did this in the faith forum today, and some people struggled understandably with what is called monkey mind, a lot of thoughts. So you can use that centering prayer technique of if thoughts start to crowd your mind, just wash them away, maybe with a word like light or hope. Again, I'm a Sandiegan, so I picture a wave washing the million thoughts always going through my head. Wash that away and just let us center on that light of Christ for a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen.